Hello. Welcome and thank you for joining us and listening to our podcast, The God Beyond the Bible. Our podcast is released weekly each Friday. The content of each episode is based on the questions and curiosities we all have about God and the Bible. Many of our topics are considered taboo in the minds of the mainstream church. You will find our discussions to be, I think, refreshing and often far from traditional. But we don't just skirt around these complex issues, but confront them head on, and not in the way you're used to hearing them discussed on typical Christian talk shows. I'm Alan Rowland, creator and host of The God Beyond the Bible. As of the launch of this podcast, I've been a pastor for more than 35 years. My co-host is my daughter, Trayson, and our engineer, co-producer is my daughter, Tabitha. Our mission is to encourage our audience, along with us, to open our minds to the reality that God is simply too big to be fully explored or experienced by the reading and studying of a single ancient work. In short, the Bible's not the sum of God, and to think this is to limit what He has done, is doing, and what He will do in our future. So with introductions made, thank you for listening, and let's dive into the topic of the day.
And welcome, Seekers, to episode 114 of God Beyond the Bible. Today, we are continuing to speak to our topic of fear and the worry and anxiety that is associated with fear. But first, we have some shout-outs.
Yeah, our shout-outs are to Mia and Albert. We're glad to have you guys listening.
You bet.
And our quote this week is, "Fear does not prevent death. It only prevents life." And that's by Nguyễn Mofoit.
I like that.
I do too.
I guess it's me, and I'm sitting over here going through papers. Okay, last episode, we took a little mock quiz to help us categorize our level of fear and anxiety, and let us say that even if you're not a person who is personally affected all that much from fear, worry, and anxiety, we encourage you to go ahead and listen anyway, because chances are, even if you're not a fearful worrier, you know someone who is. And our little talks might give you some insight into understanding and even helping that person who is a fearsome worrier. And I want to say, I had to explain that this week, as we know here on the little compound, little incident where somebody was supposed to help somebody do something and yes, they didn't, they weren't able to do it. And it was because you have to take it that this person that was going to help suffers from debilitating fear and anxiety and worry. And so, you know, when I were reading that list over there in the questionnaire, does it cause you to cancel activity? Well, yeah, there's people that have it all, that just can't hardly build themselves. Everything that they plan to do is a worry. Where did I get to?
We ended the last episode with some encouragement that merely admitting that we have a fear and worry problem is a big step, because that means that we're not fully controlled by our thoughts, because we are still able to step back and observe and be aware that we are unnecessarily suffering from the effects of fear and the worry and anxiety that's associated with it.
And that was, for me, what medication did for me. Was it gave me that ability to be able to step back and go, no, this isn't, you know, this is something that can be conquered. This is something outside of who I am. And that was a huge thing for me. So we would like to revisit a thought that we actually mentioned in the first episode on fear. What was that? Number 112, mm-hmm. I believe.
Yeah.
We said that there are two kinds of fear. There's fear that comes from a threat, which is a valid fear. And there is fear that comes from a thought. Of course, fear that comes from clear and present danger triggers that physical and psychological response so that we can do, you know, all that we can to escape or conquer that threat. However, fear that comes from thought triggers that same physical response and releases all the same chemicals, all the same hormones, but there's nothing to flee from. There's nothing to fight. So the body suffers, and then we have to sit and we have to absorb that flood of chemicals and hormones that the brain was triggered to release in response to that danger. And our body doesn't know the difference between threatening fear and thoughtful fear.
And that's our main point. Your body does not know the difference.
Right.
Your brain doesn't know the difference.
Fear
is fear. And your brain releases all the same responses and all the same secretions of hormones and all of this stuff. Okay. If we're a moderate or severe fearsome worrier, we're doing all kinds of damage to our physical body,
yes,
not to mention the emotional and psychological damage we're doing. Much of the thoughtful fear response is triggered by external fear mongering. Now, we talked about that in the first episode. Things like the television, and other so-called news outlets. Most of us never think about the fact that triggering a fear response is the goal of the media, especially the news media. And though we hear it openly talked about more these days, it's no new development for the media to present us with biased information to ensure that we respond the way that they would like for us to respond. Most of the time, that information is framed and presented to us in a way that projects the worst possible case scenario.
Yes. When we are actively listening to, watching, or reading from these sources, we are experiencing the fear of the event as though the worst case scenario was happening right at this moment.
Yeah, your brain and body doesn't know the difference. Mm-mm.
As you may have guessed after having acknowledged that I have a fearsome worry problem, it seems that the second logical step should be to reduce or better yet eliminate my exposure to those constant triggers that cause me to fear and worry. Most of the unsettling events that we absorb via media are things that we can do absolutely nothing about, and our having knowledge of it does not serve any purpose except for those who are manipulating our minds by fear-mongering to get us to react the way that they wish for us to.
And let me say that if you decide to take a break from media, you will go through a detox stage where it's almost like an addiction. Well, I'm just going to change on and watch the weather.
I'm just going to watch the weather. Yeah, I'm just going to catch the weather. I'm going to shut it off.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm just being honest because this is something we've all gone through. We know that you're going to detox, but if you can push yourself past that detox stage, you're going to find that you really don't miss it.
Well, I'm just going to tell you guys my experience with the COVID pandemic this last year. When it first happened, everyone was watching the news. And even locally, we were watching our county numbers. How many do we have that's infected? How many deaths do we have? And it put me into a constant state of turmoil.
Yes.
I was scared to death to leave my house. Yeah. I did not want to. I mean, it was when I turned off the news, I was still aware. I was still careful. I wore my mask. I disinfected. I did all of those things. But I didn't have that constant fear that if I stepped outside my door,
you were gonna I was going to be attacked.
You know, and, and that's a huge, you don't realize how much it affects your mind.
So let's go a step farther. What about fear mongering on social media?
Oh, it doesn't exist. It surely doesn't exist, does it?
And remember, the social media really only regurgitates and inflicts more bias on the already biased commercial news media stories.
And I may offend some people, but
it's true.
If you'll
guys
step back and look at it, it's more biased than the news media itself.
It is. So it's never been researched and studied as far as we're aware, but one must wonder what the results would be of a research that studied the overall improvement of the physical, emotional, and psychological state of people who completely eliminated their exposure to the fearful and negative suggestions by media. And this might include movies and books that use fear to captivate their audience for profit and mind control. And I want to put something in here. Did you guys know that a few years back, Facebook actually got in trouble because they were running experiments on their users?
Well, sure, yeah.
They actually, for those of you out there who may not know, they took a random group of users and they only showed them negative posts for about 6 weeks. During this time, they watched the posts that these people made, and they found that these users who they were only showing negative posts to actually started suffering much more negative mental health states, which is what got them in trouble, where they're essentially depressing people. Well, they're causing anxiety and fear and depression using their algorithms. And the really unfortunate part of this was that Facebook wasn't telling anyone that they were running these experiments. They were using these people as guinea pigs for their algorithms. But so just so you guys know, that stuff is happening out there.
Yes.
And it can only happen if you expose yourself to it.
Exactly.
It can't happen if you don't expose yourself to it.
And even if you think that you have none of that on your Facebook,
you do.
If you open Facebook, you have it. Yes. It's there.
As we mentioned in an earlier episode, the Christian religion is no stranger to utilizing fearful thought for the advancement of its organization and its agenda. In fact, fear may just be the most used tool in the box when it comes to the church's evangelistic message and goals. As we've said before, speaking to the whole "you must fear God" debate, it is of our opinion that this approach is counterproductive to the message of love.
Yes.
A God who is the object of our intense fear can never become the object of our devoted love. So without going too far down that rabbit hole, suffice it to say that we are being bombarded with fear-mongering tactics from every side at every given moment of the day. So it makes sense to take steps to limit, or better yet, eliminate our sources that trigger our fearsome worry and anxiety.
Yeah.
And then probably you can worry about not knowing.
Yeah. So we are aware that short of enrolling in a monastery, it is impossible for most of us to totally eliminate our exposure to fear-mongering. But if we step back and take an objective inventory, we may be pleasantly surprised at how much we can reduce our unnecessary exposure to things that trigger our thoughtful fear response.
So, after acknowledging the negative effects of fearsome worry and then reducing or eliminating our exposure to the media or other outlets, excuse me, guys, that utilize fear-mongering for personal gain and favorable response from their audience, the third thing may be to start becoming aware that the source of our fear is only a fearful thought. It's in our own mind. So when people tell you that it's all in your head, acknowledge it. Yeah, it is. I know that. A fearful scenario is either suggested to us, or we create it ourselves in our own mind because our minds are powerful.
Yes.
And then we continue to play the video loop over and over and over, and we only pause to edit in more negative results that will bring us suffering and loss. But guys, it's not real.
No.
It isn't even a real movie. We made it up ourselves. We wrote the script. We chose the characters to star in the roles. We decide how it ends, usually in a tragedy. And then we subject our brains, our body, and our emotions to living that non-real scenario over and over again. And if you say you don't do it, have you ever had an argument with somebody and then they didn't follow the script when you went to talk to them?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We probably should mention here that fear and worry have become such a part of our lives by this point that it's so familiar and we're so used to the fearsome worry reaction that we treat it and protect it like an old friend. Now, this sounds odd, I know. And it's become such a go-to response mechanism that we should expect resistance to change. I mean, any change, remember, change is one of our fears. Change is one of the things that triggers our fear. So,
have you ever tried to stop biting your lip or biting your nails or something like that? I mean, it's the same. Mm-hmm. You go back to that because it's familiar.
It's like an old friend. It's an old friend. Now, that's when we need to take a step back and become aware that we're challenging a long-term, well-developed pattern. And until we develop new ways to respond to suggestions of fearsome thoughts, we will have to remain consciously aware of our tendency to retreat into those old habits.
We may even experience a sort of love-hate relationship with our fearsome worry response. We hate the way fear and worry makes us feel, but at the same time, we have subconsciously convinced ourselves that it is this very fearsome worry that has preserved and sustained us and kept us from harm's way all these years.
If I wasn't looking out for me and focusing on all these things, who would? It's got to be.
Mine was so bad. You know how they tell you 90% of what you worry about never comes to pass? So in my mind, I honestly thought if I just worry about it, it probably won't ever happen.
So I can stress.
However, again, when we step back and we logically observe the outcomes of all those fearsome and worrisome scenarios that we've concocted in our minds, we find that few, if any, of them ever develop into the worst case scenario. And those that did, obviously our fearsome worry played absolutely no role in preventing it from happening.
I think one
of my
favorite...
And I know that's simple logic, but I mean, think about that.
I think
we put ourselves through all of that and most of it never, ever materializes.
No.
I think one of my favorite Jesus quotes, and it's the Matthew 6:25-34, where he's talking about, you know, being taken care of. But one of the things he says in the Message Bible is, have you ever stood in front of a mirror and gained 1 inch by worrying about your height?
Well, and that's good. And that's true. A good interpretation. That's a good transliteration of it. Yes. I think, Tracy, you're 12.
I was fixing to ask you guys which number I was because I got lost. And again, if you are listening to this podcast and you are one of those people whose life is being severely limited, or you may even be paralyzed by fearsome worry and anxiety, do not hesitate to seek professional help.
Of course not.
There are many avenues and many very well-trained professionals who can guide you in taking the proper steps to successfully overcome these crippling effects of fear and worry. Hopefully, our discussion will serve to encourage you to recognize and take steps toward addressing the debilitating effects of chronic fear, worry, anxiety, and depression that are associated with these conditions.
And as always, until next time, may the divine's unconditional grace, peace, and love be on in and radiate out from each of you, our fellow seekers, from all of us here at God Beyond the Bible.
Did you enjoy listening to God Beyond the Bible? Do you have an idea for an episode? Connect with us today. Visit our website at godbeyondthebible.com, all one word, or send us an email at email@godbeyondthebible.com, or you can visit us on Facebook. Just type God Beyond the Bible into the search bar.